Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one, because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, the podcast where we reminisce about our geeky childhoods with our unkeeky beer. I'm Tim.
And I'm Frank.
And today's geeky beer is a Kraken Black Spice Rum with some Coke in it. It is delicious beer, I promise you.
That sounds a lot like a rum.
Yeah, you know, I looked in the cabinet the other day and I said, "Where's the rum gone?" And then I was like, "Oh, I should probably get some." Actually, I'm not a big rum person. But this one's very good. I have to admit,
I love Kraken. Kraken is probably my favorite rum.
Yeah, it's very. This is their new one that they came out with, and their display was amazing.
Nice.
It was a giant Kraken in the middle of the store.
Yep.
And I was like, it worked. I'm going to buy this.
Yep.
So it's not overly expensive rum either, which made me happy.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's a nice kind of, you know, lower middle range price in terms of, you know, look at all the rums. It's kind of a lower end in terms of price, but it's, I think, very, very good rum. I love it. I am still, speaking of lower priced options, I am still, drinking the $2 Chuck today. Enjoying the 2013 California Chardonnay with the finest grapes that California has to offer.
That's great.
Enjoying it quite a bit.
I'm glad that Beer with Geeks has become Alcohol with Geeks.
Yeah, we're indiscriminate alcoholics.
Yeah.
We don't really care as long as we have a nice buzz.
It's got yeast or doesn't have yeast. It's still good.
Eh.
It's still good.
Booze.
There are a lot of angry people in the world when you just said that.
Millions of voices shouted out and were silenced.
Millions of voices just shouted out in terror. All right. So today, despite our Star Wars reference twice, I think, if my memory serves me correctly, today's topic is not Star Wars, for it is, in fact, music. And more specifically, our first albums, our first CDs, our first tapes, our first LPs, our first EPs, our first BYOBs. Frank, take it. Well, that's not going to be on the topic issue. It might be, but it's not going to be. So, Frank, take it away.
Okay, so ever since I was a wee lad, music has been a huge, huge part of my life. My dad turned me on to all sorts of music and, you know, really was the big influence in my life, and big musical influence in my life in terms of, you know, my taste. And that's everything from, you know, rock and roll, classic rock, progressive rock, alternative rock nowadays, classical music, everything, really, like everything. So the first CD that I remember owning myself, my dad has over 2,500 records.
Nice.
And over 1,000 CDs.
Nice.
So he's got a huge music collection. The first thing I remember owning myself was, I believe it was a CD containing Vivaldi's The Four Seasons. So it was a classical CD. My dad and I just, you know, when I was maybe eight or so, maybe between six and eight, he said, "Okay, you know, we should start learning about different kinds of music." And you know, I mean, I'd already listened to a lot of music, but like, let's buy you some CDs. Let's get you like your own little collection. And I was like, "Okay, that'd be great." So we started this tradition where every Sunday
Sunday.
Every Sunday afternoon, You know, we were an Italian family, so we'd go to church and then we'd come home and have pasta and have a big dinner in the middle of the afternoon at like 3. It's the Italian thing to do on Sundays.
The Italians, the original inventors of the pasta party.
That's right. And then after 3 o'clock dinner, you know, when everyone is lounging around because they're too full of starch, Dad would say, okay, let's go to Tower Records and let's pick you out a CD for today. And we would go to Tower Records and he would look through, you know, still the mid-90s. So he would look through CDs or even some records that maybe he wanted to buy. And then he'd take me over to, you know, another section and be like, okay, you can pick one of these CDs to pick up today. And I get to get one CD every week. Mm. We did this every week for a couple of years.
Wow.
And it was really nice. One of my favorite memories. But the first one that I picked up was Vivaldi's Four Seasons. If you don't know it, I'll probably be playing it in the background of this right now. So you're probably hearing it right now.
I have determined how much work I want to put into editing this podcast.
I have decided moderate is the amount of work we'll put into the editing. Yeah. This one. So that was the first CD that I remember owning, and then there were many, many others after that, and it started a lifetime love affair with music. But that is the first one that I personally owned. Do you remember the first one that you owned?
Yes.
You sound a little tentative about that.
I was trying to think of this earlier. I was like really. Yeah, I was really struggling with, like, okay, is this really the first one? Because I've talked about it before, and people are going to think it's the only CD that I actually own. Okay. And I think it's that Final Frontier album that I've talked about a couple times before.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that's the first CD I ever bought, and that was it's the music. It's like music of sci-fi for the past. I mean, I bought it in the 90s. So the music of the sci-fi for the past like 20 or 30 years, something like that. You know, it had John Williams and I'll do it this way. It had Star Wars, Batman, Superman, The Rocketeer, E.T., 2001, A Space Odyssey, Alien. That might be it.
So that's interesting that both of our first CDs were orchestral.
Yeah, actually, it's funny because when people are always like, I mean, you know this about me, but I have a slight hearing loss, and so I have a hard time hearing words sometimes.
Yep.
And so I listen to mostly orchestral stuff just because I can't really make out a lot of the words in songs anyway, unless I like listen to it over and over and over and over and over again.
Right.
And so when people are like, oh, who, like, what do you listen to? Like, what bands do you listen to? And I'm like, oh, what are bands? Like, the Beatles, like, which is great. But it, like up to like to stay update with music and artists and everything like that, I just never, it's never really been in my realm of like, it's never really been in my realm of existence.
Right.
The same way.
Really a forte for you.
No, and it really still isn't. Now, that being said, there are quite a few alternative rock bands that I listen to now, but it's real because I like the way that they orchestrate things.
Right.
Not necessarily because the words. Some people are like, you know what that song's about, right? I'm like, not a clue because I have no idea what the words say. Like,
okay, see, I'm actually kind of the same way where I often am not listening to the lyrics the first time I'm listening to a song. And that's pretty common, I think, where there's two different kinds of people. People who listen to the music first, people who listen to the lyrics first. I was always a music first kind of guy, so I never was really paying attention to the lyrics of many, many, many songs.
Right.
For years. You know, there are songs that I know very, very well, and I couldn't tell you what they're actually about. And if
you just sing the words even though you have no idea what they're
about.
It's
like memorizing, I don't know, it's just like I know the words, but I'm not thinking about what they mean sometimes.
I have a story about that. We have two things about that. One is that there was a study done, and apparently girls listen to words, whereas guys listen to the instrumentals, like in your inner ear and your brain. That's what you end up focusing on first.
That definitely pans out in my relationship because my girlfriend knows the words to a song. Like the first time she hears it, she memorized all the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I barely memorize the melody. I'm still listening. I like, you know, like,
right. I'm still listening to those key beats and, you know, right. Where the key change is and, you know,
yeah.
The syncopation of this. And yeah,
I'm very much more of the, you know, interested in music than lyrics. And that's not to say that I don't appreciate the poetry in lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
Like Bob Dylan is one of my favorite artists and he is like an American poet.
Oh, gathering people wherever you roam. Yeah. You sound like it was like a mix between Bob Dylan and Sanford and Son.
Everybody must get stoned. Yeah, sorry.
That's about getting stoned, Frank.
That one is, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
that one you listen to.
Yeah, that one I got. It's funny. Yeah, that's really like, unless it's really blatant, in a lot of cases, I'm not really paying attention to what a song means the first time,
mm-hmm.
first couple times, for several times, and like I said, in some cases, it's years before I stop and like, let's listen to that and like parse the lyrics, and it's like, oh my god, that's what that's about. Oh my god, that's why like I recently Genesis is one of my favorite bands,
mm-hmm.
and you know, they're a prog rock band. Later,
it's Invisible Touch,
right?
Yeah.
But later, yeah. Like when Invisible Touch came out in the later era, that Phil Collins became the lead singer, came out from behind the drum kit and started singing, and mm-hmm. it became a lot more pop, you know, and Invisible Touch is like an example of their pop era.
That's actually my favorite song of theirs. I love that song.
Nice, yeah, it's a great song. But. They have a song called Illegal Alien that's it's about illegal immigration from Mexico, but there's a whole like the middle eight, the whole like break between the second and third verse is like has references to like drugs and prostitution, and I was like, whoa, I did not realize what they were talking about until I was like 18. Oh my Phil Collins, what?
Well, I mean, that's like you listen to, I mean, even if like, now I have the Final Countdown stuck in my head, but that's not the, I will think of the song. No, keep talking. It'll come to me.
Well, anyway, yeah, that is funny that you, we both, our first CDs were both orchestral, and that's because you're, taste tends to be orchestral. Mine tends to be more of the lyrical music, even if I'm not necessarily memorizing the lyrics or even noticing what they're saying. But it is funny that our firsts were both orchestral. Mm-hmm. My whole collection, you know, when I was little, that my dad helped me buy over those couple of years was classical and orchestral stuff. And it wasn't until later that I started, you know, once I like had an allowance and like started getting my own money and would be like, I want to buy this CD or that CD. But truthfully, I didn't buy a whole lot of CDs when I was growing up because, again, my dad had 1,000 CDs and 2,500 records. So like
I had
a library of music in my house.
Yeah. See, my whole family are musicians.
Right.
So we had tons of music in the house.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Buying stuff was like, I remember to this day, actually, the two side tables in my parents' home on either side of the couch, if you open up the drawers, this is filled with tapes,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
like to the brim.
Oh, God.
So
yeah.
Many tapes.
I don't even know the number. We never counted the number of cassettes that my dad has, but it's mm-hmm. a ton. A freaking ton. When, I have another story about cassettes that I'll tell on another episode. It's a seasonal story, so I'll save that for another episode. But,
sure.
Tons of cassettes, hundreds, if not thousands, probably thousands. And that's not to mention, and then video cassettes where my dad would record MTV or like his favorite musicians appearances on like talk shows and stuff
mm-hmm.
on Saturday Night Live or Letterman or whatever, like hundreds more videotapes with TV appearances and music videos from the 80s and 90s. Grew up on with a lot of that stuff. Once you were a little more grown up, maybe you were a teenager or a young adult, did you start, like, let's say when you started building your iTunes library, right?
Right.
Do you remember, it's okay if the answer is no, I'm kind of springing this on you, so I don't want to put you on the spot. Do you remember what some of the first things you put in your iTunes library was once you started building that up?
Yep, the Harry Potter audio tapes.
Nice.
Which is true.
Read by Jim Dale.
Yes, not only we've talked about this on the podcast before. We're both musical fans. So my interest for music when I was younger, and to the extent this day, it's actually not nearly as much as it was when I was younger, but it was orchestral stuff, mostly film scores. I'm still a big film score guy. Give me a good film score any day of the week. Like, if you look at my iTunes, most of it's film. So that's how much I love movies. Well, that's actually also what I wanted to do. One of the things I wanted to do when I was growing up, I wanted to be a film composer. But that didn't happen. I lost my train of thought again. No, I was a musical guy. And so I remember having albums to musicals, Superstar, Jekyll and Hyde, Music Man. But I distinctly remember in high school getting the Wicked soundtrack. I distinctly remember that because it was pre-iPod days. And so I remember I don't know about you, but I used to, when CDs and CD players first came out, I still liked tapes because you could move like quickly with the tape and it not skip.
Oh, sure. Yeah, like a portable cassette player, you could carry it. And like Discman, you couldn't.
You could not carry it. I remember getting a Discman that had like anti-skip technology. Sure. Sure. I was like, yes, thank God. And then you shake it and it's like, no, it's still skipping.
Yeah, because they would have like, oh, this has like 15 seconds of anti-skip buffer. So like you could shake it for 15 seconds and it would buffer for 15 seconds before. Oh, man, those are the days.
Yeah.
I could only afford a 15-second one, but like my friends had like 30 or 60-second ones. So they could, you know, be like walking and have it in their pocket and it wouldn't skip. And mine would be like skipping every 2 minutes.
Yeah.
that's true. And I did have like a little Walkman that I would, you know, before when Discman or just like portable CD players in general were like really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And I was younger, like my dad still had like a cassette Walkman, so I would like use that sometimes and carry that around, and like I'd make my own mixtapes and stuff. Mixtapes are a lost art.
They are. You don't even get a lot of mixed CDs anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you get like Spotify playlists and that kind of thing, but like, there's no, you know, that's one thing where I feel like teenagers today are missing out on that sort of romantic, and I mean this romantic in like the sense of you know, just like not romantic in terms of like people being in love, but romantic in the sense of
puppy love.
Yeah, well. Whatever, like the romantic period,
courting, early dating,
yes,
infatuation.
Idealist, I guess, sentimentalist. Yeah. I'm okay. Idealist. That romantic notion of like handing someone a physical object and saying, "I made this for you."
Yeah.
Like getting a Facebook message that says like, you know, Tim wants to share this Spotify playlist with you is not the same as like handing someone a mixtape with your like handwritten label on it that says like, you know, awesome mix volume one.
Right. You're exactly right.
It's not the same. And I sound like such an old man when I say that. I'm usually like, I only read ebooks. I read my comics through Comixology. I listen to all my music streaming or, you know, at the very least on my phone, like from my iTunes library. Like I hardly do anything these days. I listen to podcasts and not real radio. Mm-hmm. I watch my TV streaming over the internet. I don't do anything analog really anymore. And yet tapes and like giving someone that object, I feel like is one of the few like lost arts, beautiful things from my youth that, you know, is gone forever.
It's so funny that you say that because on rare occasion, I could care less about the mix.
Okay, so like generally speaking, cassettes were a lossy format, poor quality. I don't miss cassettes, but I do miss the idea of being able to like give a guy, give a girl or you know, whatever, whoever to whoever, give somebody a tape and be like, here, I made this for you, and like have it be full of songs that are meaningful to that person.
Right. Well, that part I get. And I get, like, in when I have been given mixes before and I have appreciated them when I've gotten them and everything like that.
Yeah.
But like because I'm not a word guy, like very rarely, and most of the time when somebody gives you a mix of something, like it's their music,
yeah,
and not normally what you listen to.
Okay.
And so there's to me, there's always been like a, and that's because my music tastes have always run kind of strange in comparison to like the mainstream crowd. And so like, it's just, it's never really, it's never clicked in my brain the same way. Cause it's like, oh, you gave me this, I don't, you gave me this 98 degree song. Like, thanks. That's really nice. I did have the, I did actually own the 98 degree soundtrack. The one that had Stevie Wonder on it that sang True to Your Heart.
Oh,
do you know what I'm talking about?
I do.
True to your heart, you must be true to your heart. That song was great. And so I think that was on the Mulan. I think that was the Mulan yes. song. Yeah.
Yes.
And so, yeah. So it's just never, nope, it's just not the same. It's not, same. It doesn't ring true for me.
Yeah. No, like I said, there's just not, getting an IM that has a Spotify link in it is just not the same. Even mixed CDs, I feel like, are a generation, a step down.
There's something about I will agree with you there. There's something about the tape.
Yeah, because the tape, you know, maybe it's just like the time investment the person had to make, like to give someone a tape.
Yeah.
They had to listen to those songs in real time while they dubbed onto the tape.
Right. The CD, you can just drag and drop the titles.
The person spent 20 seconds dragging and dropping them from a playlist onto a CD and then hitting burn and waiting 5 minutes for it to burn. Like, that's all they did.
Yeah.
And that's not to say they didn't take time and care in curating the playlist, but still.
True. But making the tape, you also got enjoyment out of listening to those songs again.
That like person was listening to those songs while they played and maybe thinking about the person that the tape was meant for while they were, you know, again, mm-hmm. that very romanticized notion of doing that is nice. I don't know how we got from my dad giving me CDs every week.
Did your dad give you mixtapes? Like, I don't know.
I mean, my dad and I did make mixtapes. Not
did you give them to your mom?
No.
That would have been super cute.
No, we didn't, but we made them just for ourselves to listen to in the car. We'd be like, oh, you know what would be fun? To take a bunch of songs that we would like to listen to, you know, on any given car ride and put them together from records and CDs from a multitude of sources and put them together on one cassette and then, you know, listen to them in the car when we're on long rides. So my dad and I would do that. We would sit down in essentially our basement. We called it the music room. But because that's where he kept all the records and the CDs and everything.
Shoot.
We made a British invasion tape that was just like all these British bands from the 60s.
Cool.
And we made volumes 1, 2, and 3 because we were that cool. And we had that much music we wanted to listen to from the British invasion.
Oh, my God. You're just like Star-Lord.
Yes, just like Star-Lord. Except my dad's still alive. So, you know.
Boom. Yeah.
But he is bald, so there's that.
There's that.
All right, that was in poor taste. So
yeah. To Star-Lord, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, after my first early days of me being little, when I kind of grew up a little bit more and started like making my own playlists and my own iTunes library, the first things I remember for a while, I was kind of just putting kind of in the same spirit of those mixtapes. I was making playlists for a while, except this is, I guess, I wasn't, for some reason, I wasn't making them as playlists. I was just kind of like making them as their own albums. I would like in iTunes, I'd call them an album, but they're essentially playlists where I was just putting together like songs that had stuck in my head from like the radio.
Okay.
And just made this like massive, massive playlist full of just like, you know, whatever songs I listened to that I found catchy or whatever. So like, you know, it would have everything from like, you know, a Mozart song and then Def Leppard and then Ozzy Osbourne and then Peter Frampton, like all these, you know, like it's like 60s, 70s and 80s songs that, you know, I listened to a lot of classic rock radio. So that's an old radio. So that's what would come on. And it was just sort of just like a mix of everything. And that was kind of the first stuff I remember pouring into my iTunes library, which was like, oh yeah, this Billy Joel song and that song by the Scorpions. And then this song by, you know, Def Leppard or Yes or Bach. Or Zooey Deschanel, you know,
right.
From She and Him, like just like all just random stuff. And then eventually I started putting in, you know, obviously like my Beatles, my Rolling Stones, my Genesis, my Procol Harum, all the my favorite bands. But early on, it was just like kind of a hodgepodge of like anything that it was almost like I was rediscovering music for a while there when I first got like an iPod or well not an iPod but an MP3 player, my Creative Zen 30 gigabyte.
Your what? Creative Zen?
The brand was Creative.
Okay.
That was what the brand was called. And their iPod copy, their MP3 player was called the Zen Nomad.
I'm looking it up now. I vaguely remember this.
Yeah. I may have still had one when I first met you. Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe.
But
that first time that we met, I'm pretty sure that we weren't using headphones.
No, we were not.
No,
we were not. But that sounds kind of dirty, actually.
I meant it that way.
But yeah, I had one at first that was just like a giant brick. It was like a 30 gigabyte. You know, just iPod copy, basically. Mm-hmm. And then later I got like the color version that had like a touch screen and it was like all fancy. And it was more like the iPod Photo or the iPod Video. And that thing, I loved that thing to death. And then eventually I got my first iPod Touch and that was, you know, but throughout all those,
it's just an iPod Touch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But throughout all those phases, you know, like when I got the first one, it was like, I suddenly had 30 gigabytes I could fill. It was like, I don't know how many thousand songs, you know, probably like 20,000 songs or something. And it was just like, oh my God, I have all this room for all this music. And what am I going to fill it up with? And I just started everything that like I would hear on the radio in the car or whatever. I would just be like, oh, I have to download that and that and that and that. It really, I don't know. It just really opened up this. It was like, there was no limit to what I could download and listen to and discover. It was like a really exciting time for me, like late high school, early college, where I was just like rediscovering, rekindling my love with music and with just like all different kinds of music.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Like, you just went on a roll for like 20 minutes about your love of music, but I was going to let you do it. That's fine. No. You got to say a lot. You really delved. I really learned.
I'm a delver.
I really learned about the music of your heart, Frank.
Did you?
This was, yeah, I did.
I'm so glad.
I did. Really, really did. Anyway.
So you also, do you still have the same iPod Touch that
I bought off of you?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Is that really what you're still using?
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, it's still, I mean, the battery on it is terrible, but it still works. So I go back and forth between that and my phone. It's funny because when you talk about like your dad owning all this stuff and the tactile feel of the tapes and all this, and I'm like, yeah, digital music.
Oh, now, I mean, for many years now, I mean, my iPod, my iTunes library is like 75 gigs. It's huge, but.
Yeah. I'm all about the digital music now, but yeah. I do have a lot of music that I haven't replaced digitally.
Okay.
That's on that iPod.
Okay.
And so that's what I use it for. All like that, all the stuff that's been on there for years and years and years that I've never switched out.
Got it.
Because, you know, I have it on one, you know, and I'm not exactly rolling in dough. I'm rolling in fat, but not dough. Yeah, two different things.
Fat with a PH, right?
Fat with a PhD.
Oh. Schooled.
I know. I saw a joke the other day where it was this guy named Steven, and some guy asked him, he's like, I've been waiting 5 years for this, and some guy's like, I call your name Steve. Is that with a V or a PH? He's like, with a PhD. Totally worth the past 5 years.
I saw a guy who said he went to Starbucks and he said, my name is Steven with a PH. And when he got his drink, it was Steven, PHTEVN. So
now the question is, was that a joke or was.
You know,
yeah,
we will never know.
We'll never know. Like the Tootsie Pops. But what can people tell us, Frank?
They can tell us all sorts of things. They can tell us about their first CDs, the music that they like to listen to. They can tell us about all that kind of stuff. And there's actually, did you know there's actually more than one place where they can tell us that?
There's more than one. Frank, tell us about all of them.
Yeah, well, so there's @BeerWithGeeks on Twitter. And there's Facebook.com/BeerWithGeeks on Facebook. Mm-hmm. There's BeerWithGeeks.com. But there's also, and this is really important, iTunes.com.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, think about iTunes and
iTunes is very important.
It is. It is. If they want to leave us a review while they're telling us what they're up to. You know, 4 or 5 stars is really appreciated and helps us out a lot. Stitcher Radio as well is really important for distribution. Mm-hmm. And then there's, of course, you know, they can get in touch with us directly and write a little more of a long form thing by going to beerwithgeeks@gmail.com if they want.
Mm-hmm. We do like long forms. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So they can be a little more more personal if they'd like. So, yeah, those are the ways they can get in touch with us, Tim.
That sounds excellent, Frank. I'm glad that you were able to tell them all of these things.
So am I. So am I. I feel good about mm-hmm. it.
Good. Good. You really delved into yourself. It's really not I much that I... You are, yep, and I am a shelver. Oh. I don't know what that means, so cheer me, Frank.
Cheers, Tim.
Cheers.
This podcast is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. All character names, sound effects, and quotes are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Thought Bubble Audio Studios, unless otherwise indicated.